Today's daf is Beya Daf Tes, and we are at the very last line of Daf Chesa Midbeis Amar Rabba. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Moshe ben Frumit, Chaim Moshe ben Esther, and Tamar bas Chasida Fruma Rifka. So we're continuing with the rather intense Daf Ches, which discussed the third of the three machloikas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, and that is it okay to likatchila shecht a chaya and an oif in the event that you did not prepare, offer, to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam? So we're not going to go back into the entire sugya, but rather we'll just finish the last few lines and go right into the second mission of the Masechta. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Shochat Tzipor me'erev yontiv. If somebody shechts a bird on Erev Yontiv, Eimachasan oisev yontiv, then you're not allowed to do Kisi Adam on Yontiv. Meaning, even though there was a whole discussion about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam and whether you are or are not allowed to do it on Yontif, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, all the different potential Isurim, all the different variables, that's all if you shecht the animal on Yontif. So that if you shecht it on Yontif, you obviously couldn't do the Kisui Adam before Yontif. Therefore, there's a discussion, maybe you could do the Kisei Adam on Yontif. But Rabbi said, if you shecht the tzipai on Erev Yontif, ein mechasen oisev Yontif, because you could have done it before Yontif. So there's no way that we're going to allow you to go now and to do it on Yontif. Rabbi continued, he said another halacha, unrelated, and that is Gilgal isam Erev Yontif. If somebody prepared dough on Erev Yontif, mafrish mimenu chalas b'yontif, you'd be allowed to be mafrish chal on Yontif. Now the background to this halacha is something that we're going to discuss in greater detail later in the Masechta. Rashi quotes a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, which mentions that it's aser to be mafresh chumas and maestras on Yontif. Now, if you can't be mafresh chumas and maestras on Yontif, you would think you can't be mafresh chala on Yontif either. Chala is to do what truma is to peiros. Stating that, it's okay to be mafresh chala on Yontif. And the reason is because it's considered letzoyrich oichel nefesh. And just like you're allowed to prepare the dough on Yontif, so too you're allowed to be mafresh the chala from the dough on Yontif. Again, more a sugya later in the Masechta. So said Rabbi, what would be if somebody prepared dough on Erev Yontif? In which case, you could have technically been mafresh chala Erev Yontif as well. So kedai d'chamina, you would have thought that maybe it's not okay to be mafresh chala on Yontif. Again, being mafresh chala is a bidiyevet. It's a being that it's a bidiyevet, even though we allow you to do it on Yontif, but you would have thought that maybe the reason you're allowed to do it on Yontif is because you prepared it on Yontif. Therefore, you could do it on Yontif. But had you prepared it on Erev Yontif, well, you could have done it before Yontif, maybe it should be not okay. And just like Rabbi said, that Kisui Adam, which in certain situations you're allowed to do on Yontif, but it's only if you shecht the tzipor on Yontif. If you shecht the tzipor Erev Yontif, then you can't do Kisui Adam on Yontif. Why? Because you could have done it before Yontif. So you could have made the same argument regarding Chala, stating that Rabbah said that's not the case. And if someone prepared dough on Erev Yontif, the halach is mafresh mimeno chalasa b'yontif. You can be mafresh the chala on Yontif. Avuah d'Shmuel Amar, Avuah d'Shmuel. So Avuah d'Shmuel was one of the great Amoraim in Shas. He was also the Amora Shmuel's father. Now he had his own name, and there's actually fascinating hashtag rest of the story as it relates to Avuah d'Shmuel. But Pashat, the reason he was called Avuah d'Shmuel is because Shmuel was so great that for him it was actually a bigger yichus to be known as Shmuel's father than to be known with his own identity, despite the fact that in his own right he's one of the great Amoraim. But regardless, Avuah d'Shmuel said, "Afil gilgal isa me'erev yontif, ein mafresh mimenu chalas b'yontif." No, that's not the case. But rather, if somebody would prepare dough on erev yontif, he would not be able to be mafresh chal on yontif. Meaning, it's true you are allowed to be mafresh chal on yontif, but that's only if you prepare the dough on yontif. But if you prepare the dough on erev yontif, then you can't be mafresh the chal on yontif. So we have a machloikis Rabba and Avuah d'Shmuel. If somebody prepares dough on erev yontif, could you be mafresh chal on yontif, or can you not? Rabbi said you can. Avuah d'Shmuel said you cannot. Says the Gemara, Lema pligi d'Shmuel ad devuah. It would seem at first glance that Shmuel, the Amora, argued with his father with this last thing that Avu de Shmuel said. Household, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Chalas Chutz La'aretz. If somebody has Chala in Chutz La'aretz, Oichel V'hoylech, the law is that you're allowed to eat all the dough and the bread and whatever it is you prepared, V'achakach Mafresh, and you'll be Mafresh later. Now, Chalas Chutz La'aretz is something that one is obligated to be Mafresh only Midrabbanan. Chala is a mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aretz, and as a result, it's only Midday Rice in Eretz Yisrael, outside Eretz Yisrael. All it is a mitzvah derabbanan. It's for that reason Shmuel said a big kula. He said that if somebody has dough in Chutz La'aretz, it's true, there's an inyan to be mafresh challah. Women, when they bake challah in Chutz La'aretz, they're mafresh challah, but challah's Chutz La'aretz is more kula dig than challah's Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the halach is you don't have to be mafresh at first and then eat. If you want, you can be oichel v'hoylech, you can eat v'achakach mafresh, and only afterwards you're going to be mafresh. So the Gemara says that this statement that Shmuel said would seem to be at odds with what Avua the Shmuel said. What did Avu de Shmuel say? That you're not allowed to be mafresh challah on Yontif if you prepared the dough on Erev Yontif. What did Shmuel say? Chalas chutz la'aretz, oichel v'hoylech, you could eat, v'achakach mafresh, and only later you're going to be mafresh. Now, at first glance, these two halachas, they're both talking about challah, but they don't seem to be necessarily discussing the same halacha within Hilchas Challah. And why is the Gemara assuming lema pliga the Shmuel Adavu that you see from here that Shmuel is arguing with his father? But the teretz is because if it's also to be mafresh challah on Yontif, it means you're doing something wrong when you're being mafresh challah. What isser are you doing when you're mafresh challah? Misakin mana. What you're doing is you're taking something that's imperfect and you're perfecting it. You're taking something that you're not allowed to eat from, and now, because of what you just did, you're allowed to eat it. It's knocking in the proverbial last nail into the wall. It's tikkun mana. And tikkun mana is one of the lamatas melachas. And it's for that reason there's a shaila about being mafresh challah on Yontif. Now, if Avu de Shmuel said that if somebody prepares dough on Erev Yontif, you can't be mafresh challah on Yontif, zoy soy meres, being mafresh challah is considered tikkun mana. You're actually fixing something. Now, Avu de Shmuel said the halacha without differentiating, without getting involved, whether he was referring to Eretz Yisrael or whether he was referring to Chutz La'aretz, which would seem to imply that this would be true even in Chutz La'aretz, which means that to be mafresh challah in Chutz La'aretz is considered tikkun mana. If it's tikkun mana, what does it sound like? It means until you're mafresh challah, I can't eat from it. Now that you're mafresh challah, you were just misakin it. Now I could eat from it. Frech the Gemara, if Shmuel's right, the challah's Chutz La'aretz, oichel v'hoylech, v'achakach mafresh. So it comes out that when you're mafresh the challah, you're not really being misakin mana. Because even without being mafresh, I'd be allowed to eat it. So from the fact that Avu the Shmuel said that you're not allowed to be mafresh challah on Yontif, albeit if you prepared the dough before Yontif, and Shmuel said that you actually are allowed to eat from dough in Chutz La'aretz without being mafresh challah, and Avu de Shmuel Tzalacha seems to be true even for Chutz La'aretz. So says the Gemara, it would seem that Shmuel is arguing with his father. Why? Because from Avu de Shmuel it's mashma that when you're mafresh challah, it is tikkun mana, which would seem to imply that you're not eat from the dough without first being mafresh challah. Shmuel said not the way. Shmuel said oichel v'hoylech v'achakach mafresh, which means that when you mafresh it, you're actually not being misakin anything. Now Shmuel's allowed to argue with his father, but it's always a b'di'evit for a father and a son to argue. It's a whole sifkat in Shulchan Aruch whether a father and son are even allowed to argue in halacha. And of course the answer is yes. But at the same time, the Gemara always treats it as a little bit of a bidiyevet if a father and son argue. So it's not a steer and shmul, but at the same time, lemush pliga de shmul adavu. Do we have to say that Shmuel and his father are arguing? Amar Rav, Rav said no. Because mila moy de shmul, Shmuel admits, shim kara la Hashem shazur lazarim. Shmuel never said there's no such thing as chalas chutz laretz. Shmuel never said that when you're mafresh chala in chutz laretz, it's not considered chala. Of course it is. All Shmuel said was a kula. Ordinarily, first you have to be mafresh to challah, and then you're allowed to eat. Shmuel said in Chutz La'aretz, you could do it backwards. If you want, you could eat first, and then afterwards be mafresh challah. But the hafrasha does something. The hafrasha is meaningful. A zar is not allowed to eat from that challah, albeit midrabbanan in Chutz La'aretz. But the point is the hafrasha has value. And because the hafrasha has value, therefore it is considered a tikkun mana on some level. And that's why Avu the Shmuel said, it's not something you're allowed to do on Yadif. And therefore, says the Gemara, you don't have to say that Shmuel argued with his father. It is absolutely not muchach, and this ends the very first Mishnah of Masech Tisbeya, the majority of which dealt with the machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of Be'ah and all the Be'yantif, and then the Gemara briefly discuss two other ideas. Number one, what the shear of chametz is as it relates to Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatze, Machloikis B'shamim B'sil, and then finally Machloikis B'shamim B'sil as it relates to Kisei Adam. So the Gemara now is going to bring another Mishnah, Machloikis between B'shamim and B'sil and Hilchas Yontif, and the truth is really from here until the end of the Perek and really through the Masechta, there's going to be a lot of B'shamim and B'sil, but right now we're going to learn Mishnah after Mishnah, different cases, machloikis in between Beishamai and Beisil. And the truth is, with a lot of Masechtas Be'ah, it would be helpful if we lived in the world that the Tanaim lived in. Because there's a lot of hamchasha and there's a lot of visualization that it's hard for us living in a modern world to really be able to relate to. So most of the cases that Chazal dealt with were things that were very, very commonplace once upon a time, extremely abstract nowadays. Either way, we'll try our best. The Mishnah, Bishamai Yoimim Bishamai says, Ein Moilichin Es Hasulam Mishoivach B'Shoivach. You know that it move a ladder from one shoivach to another shoivach. However, your ladder tilt it from one window to another window within the same shoivach. Beisul matirim. Beisul says not only are your ladder tilted from chaloin to chaloin, but your ladder physically moved the ladder from one shoivach to another shoivach. So what's a shoivach? That's a little house that birds used to live in. So picture a house with a roof and a chimney, literally a house. And inside this house, birds used to live, and these houses had windows. The windows usually had a little platform, a daf, that was protruding from the front of it, and the bird would sometimes sit in the front, and then it would go back inside, and you would open the window, and you would feed it, and then you would shut the window, and it was a whole geschäft, and each window usually represented its own nest, separated by mechitzes and cubicles. But the point is that the shoivach is a house, so picture a house, with walls and a roof, which is where the pigeons lived, where the birds lived. So Bishamai says that if you have a sulam, you have a ladder, which is what the balabas used to be able to put things in and out of this shayvach, you're not allowed to move it from one shayvach to another shayvach. So you want to move it from one of these houses to another one of these houses, that's not okay. However, within the same shayvach, if there's a bunch of different windows and you want to just tilt the ladder a little bit, you don't have to move it because it's within the same shayvach, but you want to tilt it, you want to be matted, mechaloin lechaloin, that's something you're allowed to do. Beisul matirim, Beisul is mekel. Incidentally, we return to our regular program where Beishamai is machmer and Beisul is mekel. So the first Mishnah, we threw in three halachas, machloikis in between Beishamai and Beisul. In all three cases, Beishamai was the one that was mekel, and Beisul was the one that was machmer. But that's very, very much the exception to the rule. Ordinarily, it's just the opposite. And this Mishnah, again, Beishamai is the machmer. Beishamai says, you're now at a carry a sulam mishayvach l'shayvach. Beisul says you're allowed to. So what's the problem with carrying a sulam mishayvach l'shayvach? The Mishnah doesn't say. That's going to be very much the topic of the daf. Something more. Amar Rab Chanan Barami. So Rab Chanan Barami, the Amoris, Machloikis B'Shus HaRab. The Machloikis B'Shami Beisul is talking about in a Rishus HaRab. And with this shayvach was in a Rishus HaRab. The B'Shami Savri, B'Shami holds, Roya Omer, if you're going to move a sulam mishayvach l'shayvach, which in and of itself is an innocent act, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do it. However, the looker, the bystander, is going to say to himself, Latiach Gaga Yutzarech, oh, looks like this person is going to do work. Why is he carrying a ladder? Because he probably wants to get to his roof. Why does he want to be in his roof? He's probably looking to smear his roof with plaster. He's doing work. You're not allowed to do work on Yontif. That could involve some heavy marisayin. And as a result, Beishamai says, it's not something you're allowed to do. Beisul Savri, Beisul says, Shoivchei Mechiachalav. Why would somebody think that? This person is carrying a ladder from a shoivach to a shoivach. And Rashi adds that we're dealing with a specific ladder that was used for the shoivach. So says Beisil, if you're using a regular traditional ladder, the ladder that your roofer uses, enochinami, that maybe would be a problem. But that's not what's going on over here. This person is going mishoivach to shoivach. It seems, again, it'd be helpful had we been there, that there were custom ladders that were used to go mishoivach to shoivach. And as a result, being that that's the ladder that he's using, that's why it's going to be okay. But said Rab Chanan Barami, you want to know why Beis Shammai has a problem with our Mishnah? Because we're dealing with the Rishus HaRabim, there's a Marisayim problem, it looks like maybe you're doing real work. Meaning, if it would look taka, like all you're doing is carrying a ladder, Mishayvach L'Shayvach, nobody would have a problem. Even Beis Shammai, who loves to be Machmer, would not be Machmer over here. He would have no problem. The issue is, it was a Rishus HaRabim, and there's a Marisayim issue. Because of the Marisayim, therefore Beis Shammai said it's a problem. But Rab Chanan Barami just, he feared us the point. He said, if this was in a Rishus HaRabim, problem. You're minding your own business. You're in your own backyard. You're Yakal Mutter. Nobody would have a problem. Is that true? Is that true? So you're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to move a ladder. Why? Because of Maris Zayin. However, in your backyard, where there's no Rishus HaRabim, there it's okay. If I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, my Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Rabbi Yehuda famously said in the name of Rav that any time there's something that you're not allowed to do mipnei marasayin, the halacha is that not only you're not allowed to do it mipnei maras in a public area where people may actually see, but afilu bechadre chadarim, which is literally lefnai velefnim, even there, the halacha is that you're not allowed to do it. So how could Beit Shammai say that it's also to do it in a Rishus HaRabim, but it's mutter to do it in a Rishus HaYachiv? Now, before we go weiter, it's kedai to stop for 1 second and notice one Rashi. And that is, what's the Gemara's kasha? Rav Chanan bar Rami explained the machloikas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. He said that machloikas Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel is in Rishus HaRabim, that arguing whether there's a marasayin if you're going to carry this ladder mishoivach l'shoivach. Why would there be a marasayin? Because looks like you're doing work on your roof. Why would it not be marasayin? Because you're not taking a traditional ladder. You're carrying the Shoivach ladder. And as a result, maybe it wouldn't be an issue. But Rishus HaYachid, we don't have to worry about Marasite, even the Shammai would say it's Mutter. Freak the Gemara, Rav Chanan bar Rami, you said that? You're going connected Rav. Rav said that anything that's also Mishum Marasite is also Afilu B'chad Shechadar. So what's the kasha? How could you tell me that according to Beit Shammai, it's only also Rishus HaRabim, but it's Mutter Rishus HaYachid? If it's also Rishus HaRabim, it has to be also Rishus HaYachid as well. Because again, Komakim Shasur Chacham Ne Marasite, Afilu B'chad Shechadar Masa. Freak Rashi, Akasha. Says, I don't understand. You're asking a kasha from Rav on Rav Chanan bar Rami? This is Talmud Bavli 101. Rav Chanan bar Rami was an Amora. Rav was also an Amora. An Amora is allowed to argue with an Amora. An Amora is not allowed to argue with a Tana. But an Amora is allowed to argue with an Amora. So what's the kasha? If Rav was a Tana, it'd be a great kasha. How could Rav Chanan bar Rami say that there's a chilek in Marisayim between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid? I didn't Rav Yudah say in the name of Rav, Komok Shasu Chom Ne Marisayim, Fidl B'chad Shukadar Masr. But Rav was an Amora. So if Rav is an Amora, Rav Chanan bar Rami will just sit and he'll tell you, I know Rav said it, but I don't agree with Rav. So Rashi asks the kasha, it's about 6 lines from the top, the bright Tashiris, and Rashi says, quote, Va'afogaf de Rav Amoyrahu, even though Rav was an Amoyra, Makshamine. Still the Gemara is asking a kasha on Rav Chanan bar Rami from something that Rav said, Mipnei, She Rabon Shol Kol B'nei Hagoyla Hoya B'dayroi. Because Rav was Rabon Shol Kol B'nei Hagoyla, and then Rashi throws in 2 words, Chutz Mishmuel, with the exception of Shmuel. But Rav wasn't just an Amoyra. Rav was Rabin Shol Kol B'nei Hagoyla. In fact, Rav's name was Rav. There were very few people in Jewish history that got a name like Rav. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rav was also called Rav. It wasn't his name that he got at his bris. It wasn't Yikarish Mai B'Yisrael Rav. It was Yikarish Mai B'Yisrael Abba. That was Rav's real name. His name was Abba. Abba Aricha, he was very tall, but his name was Abba. But he became Rav because he was Rabin Shol Kol B'nei Hagoyla. So the Gemara is asking Akasha on an Amoira from something Rav said, which is an anomaly in Shas, and Rashi gives us a little bit of insight. It's because Rav, like we always speak out, wasn't just another Amoira. He was Rabban Shol Kol B'nei Hagoyla Chutz Mishmuel. But either way, that's what Rashi says, and that's why the Gemara is asking the Kashas. Again, so what's the Kashno? How could Rav Chanan bar Rami say the Machlok is only B'Shus HaRabim, but B'Shus HaYochid, everybody's going to agree it's Mutter? Rav said that if it's Aser B'Shus HaRabim, it has to be Aser B'Chadri Chadorim as well, because Komakim Shasur Chachom Nei Marisayin, I feel B'Chadri Chadorim Aser. So the Gemara says Tanoihi. It's true. Rav Chanan bar Rami is going not like Rav, and even though we don't want to say that, because Rav is Rabin Shol Kol B'nei Hagoyla, so we don't want Rav Chanan bar Rami to be keneged Rav, but at the same time, Rav's halacha was really not something that everybody agreed with. It was not universally accepted. In fact, it's a machloikis tanoim, and once we find it's a machloikis tanoim, so Rav Chanan bar Rami has a right to go not like Rav, because he has a tana, the Messiah. What's this machloikis tanoim? The tanya we learned in a braisa, Shoitcham Becham. It's talking about somebody that was outside Shabbos in the rain. Now his clothing are very, very wet. So he comes home, he takes some of his clothing, he wants them to dry. So the question is, are you allowed to leave it out in the public and let it dry? Why, yeah. I don't know. What's the problem? Why not? Because it's a Marzayin issue. It looks a little bit like you did your laundry and now you're putting out your laundry to dry. So it could be there's a Marzayin. So the Braisa says, Shoytcham Becham, you're allowed to. Avaloi Kenegadam. You have to be sensitive, says the Tanakama. Don't do it Kenegadam. Rav Loz, Rav Shimon Oisrim. Rav Loz, Rav Shimon says, even Shaloi Kenegadam, you're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, why would Rav Loz, Rav Shimon say it's always Aser? Rav's halacha. Because if you can't do it Kenegadam, Kamakim Chasru Chachamim Ne Marzayin, Afilu
Aser. But the Tanakhama argues with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And the Tanakhama clearly says that it's only Aser to do it Kenegadam, but Shaloi Kenegadam, it's fine. So what do you see? He didn't hold like Rav. So Enochanami Zokti Gemara, Rav Chanan Barami is not like Rav. He's at odds with Rav's famous Chiddush. But Rav's famous Chiddush was not universally accepted. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon and this Braisa held that way, but the Tanakhama didn't hold that way. And Rav Chanan Barami held like the Tanakhama and this Braisa, not like Rav. But the bottom line is, the first pshat in the Gemara, Rav Chanan Barami said, the machloikis between Bishamai and Basil was in a Rishus HaRabim. And the reason Bishamai has a problem carrying the ladder, Mishoivach L'Shoivach, is because of a Maris Ayin issue, because it looks like you're doing work. Basil argues, because Basil says, Shoivach HaMaychiach Olav. The fact that you're carrying a very unique ladder, that's the raya, that this is not something that you have to worry about. Ikeda Amri, some have a slightly different version of what Rav Chanan Barami said. Rav Chanan Barami, machloikis Rishus HaYochid. The machloikis was dafkin or Rishus HaYochid. The Bishamai Islu the Rav Yehuda Merav, because Bishamai held like Rav Yehuda Merav, that you can't carry the ladder mishoivach l'shoivach b'rishus harabim because of Maris Ayin. And if you can't do it in a rishus harabim, you can't do it in a rishus hayochid either. Because like Rav said, kamachim she'asur chachamim b'pnei Maris Ayin, afilu b'chadr chadarim asur. Ubeisilu, less with Rav Yehuda Merav. And Beisilu doesn't hold like Rav Yehuda Merav. And therefore Beisilu's matter only b'rishus Yachid, but Bershus HaRabim and Achinami, even Beisil is going to have a problem. Avol Bershus HaRabim, like the Gemara says, Divrei HaKol Aser, everyone's going to say it's Aser. So it's the same concept, but a different maskana. Meaning, what Rav Chanan Barami is saying in the second Lishna of the Gemara is that Bershus HaRabim, everybody holds the problem. Even Beisil, that's Matar in the Mishnah, would say it's a problem. Why? Because of Marasayin. What then was the Machlokes of Sham Beisil? Bershus HaYachid. Where really there is no Marasayin. And the Machlokes is of more Lumdish than Machlokes. And that is, do you hold the Rav? Do you not hold the Rav? And what comes out is that Beishamai holds like Rav, and Beisil doesn't hold like Rav. So the Gemara asks the same kasha. Lemir Rav, the Omega Beishamai. Based on this, it would come out. Meaning, the way Rav Chanan Barami explained the Machlokes of Shammai and Beisil, Beishamai holds of Rav, and Beisil doesn't hold of Rav. So there's two long Rashis to explain Pashup Shan in this Gemara. But the gist of it is, it's not Mistaber then that Rav learned the Hezber and the Machlokes Beishamai and Beisil the way Rav Chanan Barami did. Because if he did, it would come out that Rav's Psak Halacha of Komokim She'asur Chachomim Bnei Marasayin Afil B'chadr Chador Maser is Oiska Halten. It works. It's consistent with Beishamai's opinion, not with Beisil's opinion. And there's no way that Rav is passing like Beishamai, not like Beisil. Bal Karchach then, Rav had a different understanding in our Gemara. Because otherwise, it means that Rav is coming out in the Gemara like Beishamai, there's no way Rav would come out like Beishamai. So, Freik the Gemara, Rav Chanan Barami, if that's the case, somewhere you're not like Rav. Because Rav couldn't have learned the way you learned, because that would mean Rav is Shitas Beishamai, he wouldn't have said it in Beishamai. Rav obviously said it in Beis Hillel. So, if Rav said it in Beis Hillel, then your Pshan and Beis Hillel can't be the right Pshan and Beis Hillel. Because you're telling me that Beis Hillel holds that it's also Beishas HaRabim, but it's Mutti Beishas HaYachim. In other words, he doesn't hold of Kamakim Shasur Chacham Nei Maris Ayin Afilu B'Chadr Chador Maser. Rav does hold of Kamakim Shasur Chacham Nei Maris Ayin Afilu B'Chadr Chador Maser. And don't tell me Rav said according to Beishamai, because there's no way Rav would tell you that he said Alibi to Beishamai. So in other words, it's just a more long-winded way of asking the same question that we asked in the first Lishna. L'chur, Rav Chanan Barami, it comes out that you're the like Rav. And the Gemara says the same teretz. Rav Chanan Barami will tell you, I know I'm not like Rav. I understand that. I know Rav didn't learn Beisil the way I learned Beisil. But at the same time, I'm comfortable arguing Rav, why Tanoi? Because Rav's halach is not something that everybody agreed with. It's machloikis tanam, like we just said the Tanya. Shoytcham bechama, but like kenegadam. Rav loves Rav Shimon Oisrim. And what's the machloikis? The machloikis is: do you say that if you're not allowed to do it kenegadam, you shouldn't be able to do it even privately or not? You see, it was a machloikis tanam, and therefore Rav Chanan Barami has a right to go kenegad Rav. But the bottom line is that as we turn the page, Talmud Beis, we have two pshatim so far, both in the name of Rav Chanan Barami. Two different Lashoinis, meaning two different traditions as to what Rav Chanan Barami's Pshan in the Mishnah was, but he came to explain the Mishnah. Machlokes Pshan Beisil, are you allowed to carry a ladder Mishoivach L'Shoivach, or are you not allowed to carry a ladder Mishoivach L'Shoivach? Pshan Beisil said you cannot, Beisil said you can. What's the Machlokes? Said Rav Chanan Barami, the Machlokes is Marasayin. That's the short answer. Marasayin. There's no Melacha that's happening over here. This is not a Muktzah problem. The problem is Marasayin. You carry a ladder, it looks a little like you're about to do work on your field. Okay, now more specifically, what is the machloikis? In the first Lishna, the machloikis was Bishas HaRabim. The machloikis is when you're doing this in a very public place, Beishamai is worried about Marasayin, Beisil says Shevachem Echiyah Cholab. It's a very specific ladder. As a result, this is not something you have to worry about. In the second Lishna, if it was in a Rishus HaRabim, everybody would agree it's a problem. The Machlokes is Dafka when it's in a Rishus HaYachid. In Rishus HaYachid, Beis Shammai says it's still a problem. In Rishus HaYachid, Beis Hillel says there's nothing to worry about. Now why would Beis Shammai say it's a problem in Rishus HaYachid? Because Beis Shammai holds, Kol Mokim She'asru Chachomim V'pnei Maris Ayin Afilu B'chadre Chadar Masa, which means Beis Hillel holds that you don't say Kol Mokim She'asru Chachomim V'pnei Maris Ayin Afilu B'chadre Chadar Masa. And the Gemara pointed out, very obviously, that's not like Rav, because Rav holds of Kol Mokim She'asru Chachomim V'pnei Maris Ayin Afilu B'chadre Chadar Masa. He obviously held it in Beis Hillel. He couldn't have learned the Mishnah the way Rav Chanan Bar Rami did. But Rav's Chiddush, as famous as it is really controversial. It's really Machlokes Tanam, so it's not so shved. The Rav Chanan Bar Rami would argue with Rav, even though Rav was Rabin Shel Kol B'nei Agoyla, but at the same time, it's okay. Zok the Gemara, Masnis and Loikai Tan. Our Mishnah is not like the following time. Tanya related to the Brisa, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said a third pshat in our Mishnah. Now that is Moed B'Shami B'Sul. B'Shami B'Sul are both Moed Shemalichan as a Sulam Yishayvich L'Shayvich. That you're allowed to carry a Sulam Yishayvich L'Shayvich. There was never a Machlokes regarding taking a ladder and carrying it mishayvach l'shayvach. It's mutter. Even Mishamei holds it's mutter. The machlokes was elo l'hachzer. If you want to return it, you want to bring it back to its original location. Mishamei says, "Ein machzirim, you're not allowed to." Ubeisilu l'aymir meisilu says af machzirim that this is something that you're allowed to do. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar is a nupshat, and that is the machlokes Mishamei beisilu was never said regarding carrying the sulam mishayvach l'shayvach. So if you want to take it to a shayvach, you're allowed to, even according to Bishamai. The Machlokes is bringing it back to its original spot. Now, what's the difference between taking it to the shayvach or taking it from the shayvach? Rashi says, very simple. Taking it to the shayvach means you want to go get a bird. Why? You want to prepare a meal. That's tzayrich yontif. Tzayrich yontif, with all the cheshbayinus and marasayin, even Bishamai's meal. To take it back, that's not Tzayrich Yontif anymore. Just leave it there. And because that's not Tzayrich Yontif, therefore Beis Shammai has a problem. Beis Hillel says, I'm not worried about anything. And as a result, it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says that Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that's a new understanding in the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but that's not our Mishnah. Masnis and the loy kaitana, because the Mishnah said Beis Shammai Yomrim ein moylichen es asulam mishayvach l'shayvach. It's clear that the Mishnah, or the Tan of our Mishnah, understood Beis Shammai not only regarding returning it, but actually bringing it to. So again, this is a new pshat of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but it's not a pirish in the Mishnah. Rav Chanan Bar Rami's two pshatim were explaining the Mishnah. This third pshat is not a pirish in the Mishnah, it's a new pshat. In fact, Masnis and the Loike Aitan, it's clear the Tan of the Mishnah is not that way. Because the Tan of the Mishnah is talking about Meilichin and Ein Meilichin, and Rav Shimon Elazar specifically said that there's no Machlokes as it relates to Meilichin. Everybody holds Meilichin, the Machlokes is whether you're allowed to bring it back or you're not allowed to bring it back. Either way, the Braisa continues. So again, this is the first part of the Braisa of Shimon ben Elazar, who said the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was only regarding bringing it back, but everybody agrees, Moilichin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda now continues along in this Braisa, and he said, Medvar Mamurim, another qualification is that this whole Shaila was the Sulam Shal Shaivach, where the Sulam that was being carried was the sulam that was used specifically for the shayvach, like we mentioned already on Amman Alf, Avu Basulam Shal Aliyah. But if you're using the ladder that the roofer uses, the one that you would usually use to get on top of your house, Tibia Kolasar, everybody would hold its asas. Again, the whole shayl over here is where it's a sulam shal shayvach. There, like we spoke out on Amman Alf, Basil says, I'm not so worried about Marasayan, shayvach and Mechiyah Chalab. But if you're going to use the ladder that people used to get on the roof, everybody's going to hold its asas. Third halacha that the Braisa says, Rabdoisa said, Mateo mechaloin lechaloin. You're allowed to tilt it from window to window. Others said in the name of Rabdoisa, Acherim is of course Remeir, Af medadim boy. Not only you're allowed to tilt it, but even allowed to move it more subtly. So the Gemara is going to now discuss the entire Braisa. Bnei Reb Chiya nafik l'karyasa. Sons of Reb Chiya, they once went out to the village. Rashi says, Liroi sadei same. They owned fields and they took a road trip to the suburbs. They wanted to go take a look at some of the fields that they own. When they came back, they went out and people saw them. They must have noticed them. They knew who they were. So Reb Chiya asked his sons, he says, tell me, did anybody ask you any questions? Like, did you have like a good shayla, have a good story to repeat? Amalei said, yeah. Sulam bali yodenu. We had a shayla involving a ladder. Someone asked us a shayla. You allowed to carry a ladder on Yontif? Mishayvach l'shayvach? Or you're not allowed to? V'hi tarnu. And we told them that it's mutter. Meaning we gave them a kula. They were very excited. You know why? We know it's machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. If you're allowed to carry a sulam mishayvach l'shayvach, Beis Hillel's mekel. Beis Hillel says it's mutter. So they said, yeah, we had a maisa. Someone came to us with a sulam. And we said it's mutter. Amar lahem. So their father, Reb Chiya, told them, Tzuva isru mashe itartim. Go back to the fields. I know it's not kishmak, but you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to go tell them that everything that you just told them is mutter is not going to be okay. Now, what was the story? The story that was asked to them was a sulam shel aliyah. This was a sulam that was used typically to go on top of your roof. Meaning, it wasn't the specific sulam of the Shaivach, it was sulam shel aliyah. And that was the sulam that the Bnei Reb Chiya were matter. They held that according to Beisil, when we say you're allowed to carry a sulam yishayvach l'shayvach, it's even the sulam shel aliyah. So the Gemara says, why did they think that? Because in Usavar, they held that mid the Kamer Rabbi Yehuda Basulam shel aliyah played pligi, being that we just learned in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda was mefarish. And he said that there was never machlokes b'sham Beisil regarding Sulam shel aliyah, mechlal the Tanakama Savar pligi. It sounded to the Bnei Reb Chiya that this was Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda's the one that said this chiddush, that Bamed Farim Amurim Basulam shel shayvach. But as it relates to the Tanakama of that Braisa and the Mishnah, for that matter, they never said anything about the Sulam Shal Shaivach, so they thought that maybe over there it's true, even for a Sulam Shal Aliyah. So they were makel even the Sulam Shal Aliyah, Velohi. But that's not the case, Rabbi Chiya told them. Rabbi Yehuda, time of the Tanakam would come a farish. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't coming to argue with the Tanakam, he was coming to explain the Tanakam. And therefore, Rabbi Chiya told the sons, you better go back, run back to the field, and tell them that you made a mistake. So again, what happened? The Bnei Rabbi Chiya were asked to Shaila, are you allowed to carry a Sulam Shaivach Shaivach, but it was a Sulam Shal Aliyah, right? From the Gemara, we were able to extract this piece of information. The question was Sulam Shel Aliyah. They said Mutter. They knew Beis Hillel. Now they knew Rabbi Yehuda said that Beis Hillel never said the halacha by a Sulam Shel Aliyah, but they thought that was Rabbi Yehuda's own chiddush. We probably don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's a yachid. They assume that the Chachamim will argue with Rabbi Yehuda, yachid v'rabim, halacha gram. So they assume that halacha is probably not like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Chiya told him, no, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't coming to argue with the Tanakama. He wasn't coming to argue with the Chachamim. He was coming to explain the Chachamim. No one ever argued with this. And there's no Beis Hillel when it comes to a Sulam Shel Aliyah. The whole Beis Hillel is a Sulam Shel Shoivach, like we've been explaining the Gemara from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that? Meaning, how did Rabbi Chiya know that Rabbi Yehuda was coming to explain the Chachamim? He says, because Midiktani, because there's a very obvious diyak here. What did the Mishnah say? Mois lichnen es ha-sulam mishayvach l'shayvach. Now, if you're going to tell me that Beisul said it's halach, even my ha-sulam mishal aliyah, ha-ima lichnen es ha-sulam mishayvach l'shayvach, ma lichnen es ha-sulam l'shayvach mibayle. It sounds like, where did the shayvach start? Where was it at the beginning of the story? The sulam. It was at the shayvach. The sulam is at the shayvach. Now you want to take it, mishayvach to shayvach. If we're talking about a sulam shel aliyah, then it's not by your shayvach, it's on the top of your van, right? That's where it is. You have to go now, take the sulam, take it out of your garage, go bring it to the shayvach. It sounds like it started off by the shayvach. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda knew, and that's how Rabbi Chiya knew that it was poshit, that we're dealing with the sulam shel shayvach. Over there, they still held as no marasayin, and it's over there, only over there, that they still held that it's not going to be a problem. Meaning, because if you're going to tell me, nachamol inside, that it's lav dafka sulam shel shayvach, it's even a sulam shel aliyah, then hay moy lichnin es ha-sulam mi shayvach l'shayvach, moy lichnin es ha-sulam l'shayvach mi bayli, ela lav hachi kamar, must be shel shayvach in, shel aliyah lai v'idach. What did the Bnei Rabbi Chiya hold? Meaning, why didn't they understand it that way? Because they felt Miktani Sulam Shal Shaivach. It doesn't say anywhere Sulam Shal Shaivach. Mi Shaivach the Shaivach Tani. If it would have said Sulam Shal Shaivach, yeah, they would have said, okay, the Mishnah says Sulam Shal Shaivach. It said Sulam. What it said was Mi Shaivach the Shaivach. So they felt that maybe really the Mishnah means even a Sulam Shal Aliyah. And the reason it said Mi Shaivach the Shaivach was to teach me a Chiddush that Afilu Likama Shaivachim. That you're allowed to take it to one Shaivach and then to another Shaivach and then to another Shaivach. But the Chiddush was that you're allowed to take it to Kama Shaivachim. And therefore they felt that the Dig wasn't such a Dig. Either way, this is the first of two versions of the story. So again, what was this version of the story? The Bnei Reb Chiya, they go out to their fields, they have to inspect it. The Olam comes, and they start asking them, that Shailas. One shayla that was asked was, are you allowed to carry a sulam shel aliyah mishayvach l'shayvach? They said, yeah, it's Beisil Shita. Now, they knew Rabbi Yehuda said that it's not true by a sulam shel aliyah. It's only true by a sulam shel shayvach. But they thought only Rabbi Yehuda held that way. But the Chachamim argued. They came back. They told Rabbi Chiya what happened. Rabbi Chiya said, go right back and tell them what we told you is mutter is really aser, because Rabbi Yehuda was never coming to argue with anybody. Rabbi Yehuda was just explaining, everybody in the world agrees that according to Beis Hillel, the only time it's mutter to carry a sulam mishayvach l'shayvach is if it's a sulam shel shayvach. That type of sulam doesn't have a marasayim issue. However, if the sulam that you're going to carry is a sulam shel aliyah, that's for sure marasayim. And over there, Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai. Ikad Amri, the second version of the story was Amru Loi. So again, the Bnei Reb Chiya come back. Their father asked him, "No, any shailas?" They did say, "said yeah." Hitu is sulam shel aliyah bali yodeinu. The question was, are you allowed to take a sulam shel aliyah? So again, this is the sulam that's used to go on your roof, not the one for the shayvach. And are you allowed to tilt it from one window to another window within the shayfach? V'hitarnu, and we said that it's going to be mutar. So this is a less dramatic heter than in the first lishna of the Gemara. First lishna of the Gemara, they allowed him to literally be meilechit mishayvach l'shayvach. Over here, they never paskin that you could be meilechit mishayvach l'shayvach, but rather the question over here was to be mata'it mechalayin l'chalayin. You're allowed to take it from one window to another window. So you would think for sure that's mutar. And that's what they paskin. Amalehem. So Reb Chiya told him, no, you wrong. Psak. Tzu v'isru mashi tartam. You have to go back to the field. Tzu, go back out to the suburbs and tell the oilam that what I told you is mutter is really us. Gemara says, okay, why did the Bnei Reb Chiya think it's mutter? And why did Reb Chiya have to clarify and say it's us? Because inu safar, they held the ma'idah ka'asa tanakamo kashari rab doise. Going back to the brayse on top. Remember, the brayse was made up of a few parts. The first part of the brayse was Rav Shimon ben Elazar that explained the machlokes b'sham b'yisrael. The machlokes is not regarding taking it as l'tzarich yontif. Everybody holds its mutter. The shaila is taking it back. Fine. Then Rabbi Yehuda said, "Bemedvar ma'amur mesulam shal shayvach, avu mesulam shal aliyah." If it's a sulam shali, everyone's going to hold it's us. Then here's the punchline. Rab Doisa said, "Mateo mechaloyin lechaloyin." You're allowed to take it mechaloyin lechaloyin. Now they thought that Rab Doisa was commenting on what Rab Yehuda said. Rab Yehuda said, "Sulam shel shoyvach, yeah. Sulam shel aliyah, no." Rab Doisa said, "Obe mateo mechaloyin lechaloyin." What's he referring to? Sulam shel aliyah. So you see, sulam shel aliyah, you're allowed to be mateo mechaloyin lechaloyin. So they paskin that it's mutter, meaning they thought that. That what the Tanakhama said is aser. What Rabbi Yehuda explained that the Tanakhama holds as aser, which is sulam shel aliyah, is mutter if you want to be matit. But v'lohi, Rabbi Chiya told them they made a mistake because, in fact, ma'ida kashari Tanakhama kaaser Rabbi Doisa. The way you're supposed to read the brayso is that Rabbi Doisa was actually being machmer, and he was saying that even a sulam shel shoyvach, where Beis Hillel says it's mutter, it's only mutter to be mata, but to be mata sulam shel aliyah, whoa, no one ever said that. You can't be moilachit, you can't be machzer, you can't be mater. It's either way, whatever the version of the story was, the Bnei Reb Chiya had to go back. They had misinterpreted the braisa, and that's when Reb Chiya went to explain them. Either way, so again, we had a machloikas in Bisham Yisrael in the Mishnah, and that is, are you allowed to carry a sulam, a ladder, mishoivach l'shoivach, or you're not allowed to carry a ladder, mishoivach l'shoivach? One thing was clear in the Gemara, even though the Bnei Reb Chiya seemed to have made a mistake about this in one version of the Gemara's narrative, but that is, we're dealing with a sulam that's unique, it's specific to a shayvach. Shayvach and machirchal, but looks like a very, very specific type of ladder. Afal pikin, there was machlebis in Misham Yisrael, whether you're allowed to carry mishayvach or shayvach or not. What's the reason it would be a problem? There was one reason in the Gemara, and that is maris ayin. The maris ayin is, it looks like you're doing work. You're not allowed to work on yontif, so it looks like you're getting involved in some real melachis deraisa. And because of that, there's a maris ayin issue, and therefore Beis Shammai says it's a problem. Even though Beis Shammai said it's a problem, Beis Hillel said it's mutter. The question is, what was the machlokes? What emerged was two lishonis Rav Chanan bar Ami had an understand, and then a braisa which seemed to have a different understanding than the Mishnah. Either the machlokes is dafka b'rishus harabim, where there's a real maris ayin, b'rishus hayachad, everyone holds mutter, or everyone agrees b'rishus harabim, it's a problem. The machlokes is dafka b'rishus hayachad, they're arguing rav's halacha, and that is kamakim shasu chacham and they maris ayin afilu b'chadu chadar maser. Alternatively, the third pshat was the machlokes is dafka lahachzer. To be moilach is a letzarech yantiv. Everybody holds it's going to be mutter. The shayla over is lahachzer. You're allowed to bring it back. You're not allowed to bring it back. And that was the machlek. So we'll just make a haschala on the next Gemara. It's going to go very much into tomorrow's daf. But just to start it. Says the Gemara. An obvious observation. It comes out from our Gemara that as it relates to Simchas Yontif, Beishami was Machmer, Beisol was Mekel. Meaning, why are you carrying your ladder, Mishoivach L'shoivach? You want to go take a bird out of your that little house that they live in. So like this, you can go make a meal. You're doing this for Simchas Yontif. There's no question you're doing it for Simchas Yontif. stating that Beis Shammai is machmer in the world of Simchas Yontif, and Beis Hillel is mekel in the world of Simchas Yontif, right? Seems consistent. Beis Shammai is always machmer. Beis Hillel is always mekel. Frank the Gemara for a minute. I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah that we're quite familiar with. Shaykhet Chai Vayt Beyontif, the first Mishnah of Masechta. If someone checks a Chai or an Eifan Yontif, Beis Shammai says Yachmer, but that could be a chasim. Even if you don't have any offer that was muchan, but at the same time, you're allowed to take a shovel, you're allowed to dig, and you're allowed to do, can you see it? Not Bissel and Bissel says, you're not allowed to shech l'katchil unless you prepare an offer. And a whole hard gemara, dafches, zayin amabez. But at the end of the day, machloikis b'sham Bissel, are you allowed to go shech the chay v'oif if you didn't prepare offer mibba'oidyon? You're going to have to do kisi adam. Bidi ever, everybody holds you good. The question is l'katchil, am I allowed to shech them, am I not allowed to shech? B'shamay says, yeah, Bissel says, no. Now, this is an example of where Beis Shammai was Mekel, Beis Hillel was Machmer. That was the theme of the first Mishnah. The three halachas had in common one thing in the Mishnah, and that is that Beis Shammai was Mekel, Beis Hillel was Machmer. But the bottom line is, you see that as it relates to Simchas Yontif, Beis Shammai is Mekel, and Beis Hillel is Machmer. So, Freit the Gemara Astira, in the first Mishnah, in the Masechta, Yontif, third case specifically, Beis Shammai, as it relates to Simchas Yontif, is Mekel. Go Shech, even though you didn't prepare the offer, Simchas Yontif. Beis Hillel's machmer, even though it's Simchas Yontif. And here, when it comes to Maris Ayin, carrying the Sulam, Yishayvach, L'shayvach, it's just the opposite. Over here, Beis Shammai is the one that's machmer, Beis Hillel's mekel. And the Gemara seems to approach these two Mishnayis as if there's one thing at stake, and that is, you're doing something b'diyeved, but then again, Simchas Yontif. In the first Mishnah, Beis Shammai is mekel, Beis Hillel is machmer. In under a Mishnah, it's just the opposite. Beis Hillel is mekel, Beis Shammai is machmer. The Gemara says it's a stira. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was so compelled by this question that he said, Muchlefes Hashita. You're right, it's a stira. And you have to do a switcheroo, and you have to swap one of the shitas. Now, as Machlokes, we're showing him which one. Rashi learns, Mechavis Hashita means the Mishnah we learned. That after learning this whole Mishnah, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, we have to switch it around. And really, Beis Shammai is the one that was Mekel, and Beis Hillel is the one that was Machmer, and you could chalk this up as another kula of Beis Shammai and a Chumra and Beis Hillel, because otherwise it's inconsistent with Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel's Machlokes in the first Mishnah. When it comes to Simchas Yontif, you see Beis Shammai is Mekel, Beis Hillel is Machmer. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, it seems like a dramatic move to make. In light of this question, it doesn't seem like such a great sakash. Why Kizdumo? Perhaps I'd kind of come to Beis Shammai Hossam. Maybe when the Beis Shammai say it's mutter in that Mishnah, Elahechad Ikadekar nods. The Gemara said that the only time Beis Shammai was Mekel, the only time Beis Shammai said it's mutter l'katchila teshach techaye va'oif, is if you already had a shovel in the ground, meboidyoy. And the reason was, the Gemara said, because if you have a shovel, you're really avoiding all the real problems. Right? What are the potential problems that you have by doing Kisi Adam? Number one, you're digging. Well, if the shovel's in the ground, there's no problem of digging. Number two, you have a problem of mukta. Well, if the shovel's on the ground, it's not mukta. What about you're going to be crushing it when you cover it? We're talking about a certain type of sand where that's not going to be an issue. Aren't you creating a ditch? If you don't need the ditch, all you need is the offer. You're not creating a ditch. But once we made the Akimta, the Ikadekar nuts, at that point, Beis Shammai is no real problem. Therefore, Beis Shammai said it's okay. Meaning, you're assuming Beis Shammai says, as long as it's Simchas Yontif, we're willing to look away. Beis Shammai never said that. Beis Shammai said that if the deck is nuts, there are no problems anymore. So therefore, you can go ahead and do it. But otherwise, Mechates, it's good. Now, what about our Mishnah here? There's a problem. Matter saying, that's the sugya we just learned. And therefore, he said it's going to be a problem. Inami, alternatively, Adkan, come Beis Hillel Hacha. Maybe you can say in the reverse as well. When the Beis Hillel say, in our Mishnah, that there's no problem. There's no Marisayin El Deshev Vachim Achiyasov. Because like we said, at the end of the day, what kind of ladder are you carrying? You're carrying a ladder of a Shevach. So Beis Hillel had, there's no problem. Awesome lawyer. Over there is a problem. Now, when we learned Tavches, very quickly, we never really explained what Beis Hillel's problem is, right? It wasn't so clear. What is Beis Hillel's problem? So there's a Rashi that's tucked away right here. Rashi on Tavches Amid Beis says, Dibra Maskalav El Hossam Loy, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Gazri Mishum Ketisha, Duma Zimdin Dabai Ketisha. The reason Beis Hillel has a problem is, what were they worried about? They were worried about Ketisha. The end of the day, Ofer Tichayach, they were worried that maybe one clump, and that clump you're going to end up grinding a little bit. They were worried about grinding it. It's for that reason Beis Hillel said it's going to be. So the Gemara says, I hear. Based on that, you have to say that can't be the reason that Rabbi Yochanan was machlif the shita. It seems there was some asira. The Rabbi Yochanan had a stira between two Beis Shammais and two Beis Hillels, and because of that, they were machlif the shita. We assume that this must be the one. Clearly, it's not. Which one is it? The Gemara is going to have about another 5 attempts, but that we're going to see already. Mietz Hashem in tomorrow's daf. So, just to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, and that is Yontif Sheni Shel Galias. So Yontif Sheni Shel Galias as we've already seen a little bit, is a fascinating topic. There's so much there from a halachic standpoint, from a history standpoint, from a lumdis standpoint. And the truth is that it's not an easy sugya, but it's a sugya that very much is associated with the first daf in the Masechtes Beya. It's also very much in Yonah de Yoyma, as we're in Chodesh Tishrei, the Yerecha Isanim, the Yontif of all the Yomim Toivim. And as a result, in Loi Achshav Emasais, I think it's Kedai to go back today, and maybe again tomorrow, and talk a little bit more about the concept of Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. The Crazy Uplesi, Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz, wrote a small chibur. It's called Beis HaSafik. It's at the end of Yerideya Simin Kuf Yud. So Yerideya Simin Kuf Yud, Kuf Yud Aleph, Ki Yudua, is the Simonim in Shulchan Aruch that talk about Sveikis and different Achroinim. The Shach wrote very long chiburim about Hilchas Sveikis in that neighborhood. And Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz did as well. And at the end of Simin Kuf Yud, he wrote a kuntras Beis HaSafik. And in Beis HaSafik, he brings a kasha that the Yerushalmi asks. It's a bomb kasha. It's a kasha that, if not consciously, subconsciously, must have bothered everybody at some point in life. And that is, once upon a time, Bezdin was Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al-Pi Re'iyah. And because they were Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al-Pi Re'iyah, unless you lived in close proximity to Bezdin, you had no idea when Rosh Chodesh was. And if you didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, that meant you didn't really know when Yontif was. And that was a problem, because there were Yidden that were living Bechol Kitzvois HaTevel, in all the corners of the world, and they had to know when Yontif was. They had to know when you're supposed to hit Kiyas Shofar, when you're supposed to sit in a sukkah, when you're supposed to eat matzah and not eat chametz. It was very important for them to know what Yontif was. And as a result, there was a system that was set up where there were shluchim that would go out and they would spread the word to try to notify as best to their ability. So like this, all the kehilos where Yidden were living would know when Yontif was. But the reality is that the shluchim weren't able to arrive at all the kehilos and time for them to know when Yontif was. And it was because of that, they had no choice. And there were places where they started keeping a second day Yontif. Midday Raisa, there's no such thing as a second day Yontif. But they, Pashit, had no idea when Yontif was. And because they didn't know when Yontif was, they were dealing with a Sveika day Raisa. It's today Yontif, it's tomorrow Yontif. And as a result, they had to keep 2 days Yontif. Now, why 2 days Yontif? So that's based on the fact that Rosh Chodesh could only be the 30th or the 31st day from the previous Rosh Chodesh. Every month, they did have a reset button, so they knew when the previous Rosh Chodesh was. So they knew either day 30 or 31 was Rosh Chodesh, so then count from there, and like this, you'll be able to at least narrow down Yontif to 1 or 2 days. And it's for that reason you have Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. Now, why do we have it today? The Shalchu Mitam, the Gemara says, there was a memo that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel that said, Hizaru b'minig aviseichem. You should keep the minig aviseichem for whatever reason. Freik to Yerushalmi, if that's the case, we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, we have 2 days Sukkos. Shmini Atzeres, people sit in a sukkah because, again, you have 2 days. You don't know if it's the 7th day of Sukkos or it's the 1st day of Shmini Atzeres. We have 2 days Shavuos, we have 2 days Pesach. Why is it that we don't have 2 days of Yom Kippur? This is the kasha. Why is it that we don't fast 2 days of Yom Kippur? Now you'll tell me because it's not Geshmak. But you have a Sveika Deiraisa. You know when Yom Kippur is. If you do Malach on Yom Kippur, you're over in Issa Deiraisa. It's a Chayvei Krisus. If you eat on Yom Kippur, you're over in Issa Deiraisa. You're over a Chayvei Krisus. It's a freak to Yerushalmi. Why is it that there's no Yontif Sheni when it comes to Yom Kippur? Now, it's Mavurin Gemara's and Masechtes Rosh Hashanah that it's not just now that we don't have a Yontif Sheni of Yom Kippur. But even back in the day, before Hillel fixed the calendar, there was never in history a Yontif Sheni Shal Yom Kippur. So the kasha is, if there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and 2 days of Sukkot and 2 days Pesach and 2 days Shavuos, why isn't it that there's no 2 days of Yom Kippur? And the Yerushalmi says the Teretz, Rebbe Yonis and Eibeshitz asks a kasha on the Yerushalmi's Teretz, and Rebbe Yonis and Eibeshitz in the crazy place, he wanted to say an unbelievable chiddush. He said that I think this kasha is a raya berura. It's a tremendous raya to the famous shita of Rambam. The Rambam shita is that even though sveika deiraisa is lechumra, but sveika deiraisa lechumra is a din derabbanan. The fact that we're machmer when we have a sveika deiraisa said the Rambam is only midrabanan, because midrayisa, you don't have to worry about tzveikas. The Torah says don't eat nevela if you know for sure it's nevela. If you have a suffix, if it's nevela, you're allowed to eat it. Tzveika derayisa l'chumra is a din derabanan. It's the rabbanan that said that you have to be machmer by a tzveika derayisa. It said Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, if the whole tzveika derayisa l'chumra is only din derabanan, so then I understand. Because that means that really, if you don't know when Yom Kippur is, keeping 2 days Yom Kippur is not something you'd be biblically obligated to do. You'd really only have to keep 1 day Yom Kippur midrayisa. Now, how you'd figure out which day, that's a good shaila. But you would only have to keep 1 day, or maybe you wouldn't have to keep any days, because tzveika derabanan is really lekula midrayisa. It's only midrabanan that you have to. Being that it's only midrabanan you have to, Chazal understood that it's very difficult to fast 2 days Yom Kippur. Ein geizrin gzeira la tzibu, she'ein roi va tzibu yechaylam lamidba. And it's for that reason, said Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, the Yidden never kept 2 days Yom Kippur. But said Rabbi Yonasan, that this kasha, I think, is a raya nifla to the Shita Sarama. From the fact that they didn't keep 2 days Yom Kippur is a raya that you're not mechuyev to be machmer, even by a sveka derayisa. It's only midrabanan. Okay, midrabanan, you can figure out 100 reasons why they didn't want to have 2 days Yom Kippur. But the point is, if it was a sveka derayisa, they would have no choice. You can't say svaras. You would have absolutely no choice. But said Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, maybe, this kasha of the Yerushalmi, this historical fact that Jews never kept 2 days Yom Kippur, is naraya to the Shitas HaRambam. The truth is that the Ritva, Echad Min HaRishonim, in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, already asks this kasha. Why is it that you don't find that the Yidden ever kept 2 days Yom Kippur? The Ritva has a very, very important teretz. But before the Ritva's teretz, we need a little bit, a tiny bit of an introduction. The Gemara and the Avava Med Aleph, we learned this Gemara together. The very, very top line, Amar Rava. Rava said, a very, very important line in the world of Yantav Sheni. Mace, if somebody has a mace that's Mutal Lefanov, there's a mace, he has to bury the mace. B'Yantav Rishon, if it's the first day, Yantav Yisasku Bayam. He should ask non-Jews to bury the mace for him. Do an amir la'akam. B'yantiv she'ini, if it's the second day yantiv, he's asku by Yisrael. Then a yid is allowed to do the kura by himself. V'afilu b'shnei yamim toivim shal Rosh Hashanah. And this is true even if it's on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, even though we know the second day Rosh Hashanah is considered a continuation of the first day Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Ha'arichta. So therefore, you would have thought that maybe the second day Rosh Hashanah really would be more chamor. But said Rava, even the second day Rosh Hashanah, the halach is if there's a mace, Yisasku by Yisrael. You don't have to ask a non-Jew to do it. You don't have to do an Amir Lakim. You can do it yourself. Mashaykin Bebeya. And Rav acknowledged, even though when it comes to a Beya Shenolda, the second day Rosh Hashanah is no different than the first day Rosh Hashanah. But at the same time, when it comes to a mace, the halach is it's different. And the reason is, the Gemara explained, because Yontif Sheni, Legabe Mace, Kechol Shavu Rabbanu. That when it came to Yontif Sheni, they treated it literally like a weekday when it came to a mace. Zokt, the Noid of Yehuda, in his slach, on this Gemara right here, that it's pasha to me, it's pasha, you have to say, that this statement that Rava said, that on the second day Rosh Hashanah, let's focus on Rosh Hashanah, the second day Rosh Hashanah, a yid is allowed to go ahead and bury a mace, because kechol shavu Ramban, this was only after Hillel fixed the calendar. Once there was already a calendar, at that point, said the Noid of Yehuda, we know when Yontif is. We know when Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is the first day. It's not the second day. Now, Hizaru b'minig aveisechem. That's true. But at the same time, as it relates to Yontif Sheni, it's for sure more kuladik. It's only midrabanan. So being that it's only midrabanan, when it comes to Kavod HaMeis, kichayel, we treat it like it's a weekday, and therefore Yisasku by Yisrael. Abzach the Noid of Yehuda. That's pasha to me. That had Rava been discussing back in the day, when the Yidden had no idea when Yontif was, he could have never said such a halacha. Then Yontif Sheni is more kuladik than Yontif Rishon. Because says the Noid of Yehuda, what's the difference between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni? It's the same suffix. You don't know when Yontif is. I don't know if today's Yontif or tomorrow's Yontif. So how could Yontif Sheni be any more kuladik than Yontif Rishon? So said Rabbi Yecheskel Landau in his slach on this Gemara Be'ed Avav Amin Aleph, he said something extremely reasonable, so extremely mistaber. And that is, there's no svara, l'chura, to be more meikel by Yontif Sheni versus Yontif Rishon when Bezer was mechadish the chaydish al piri? You just don't know if Rosh Chodesh is day 30, is day 31. And being that the Yidden living far away were not privy to what was going on in Yerushalayim, so it's pashut. There was a Safik Yontif on the first day, Safik Yontif on the second day. And there's no svar in the world that would allow you to be more meikel by Yontif Sheni than on Yontif Rishon. Aye, what did Rava mean when he said meis by Yontif Rishon yisasku by Yam and meis by Yontif Sheni yisasku by Yisrael? It's because Rava was talking about after Hillel. He was talking after that calendar was already fixed. In other words, Rava lived after they already fixed the calendar. And because Rava lived after they already fixed the calendar, in Rava's times, in his world, Yontif Sheni was more cooler day, because we knew Yontif is the first day. Yontif is always the first day. So we knew Yontif is the first day. That means the second day is only Midrabban. Oh, it's only Midrabban. Kachal Shavi Rabban. And it's for that reason you're allowed to be Mekel. Zaktinai de Bihudo. The truth is, if you take a look in the Rambam's Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, Perikei Halacha Gimel, the Rambam, as he so often does, gives us not just the halachas, but he gives us a little bit of an appreciation of the history. And the Rambam says, quote, after he introduces Hillel's calendar, he says, when did the Jews start using the calendar? He says, Misoif Chachmei Talmud. It was from the end of the Tkufa of the Chachmei Talmud, the Chachamim of the Gemara, Be'esh Necharve Eretz Yisrael, V'loi Nisheshon Bezdin Kavud. There was some Churban that happened, and because of that, there was no real Bezdin anymore, and because of that, they had no choice, they had to start relying on the calendar. Avo Bimei Chachmei Mishnah, says the Rambam, but during the times of the Mishnayos. V'chein bimei Chachmei Talmud, additionally in the times of the Chachmei Talmud, ad yimei Abaye v'Rava, until the times of Abaye v'Rava, al kfiyas Eretz Yisrael hayu soimchem. They were still working, and they were still being Mekadesh al piriyah. Says the Rabbi Behuda, the Rambam, when he spoke about the history of when it switched, when they went from being Mekadesh al piriyah to start being Mekadesh based on the calendar, so the Rambam doesn't talk about Hillel, but the Rambam talks about whose tkufa was it? It was the tkufa of Abaye v'Rava. He says, "Bimei Chachmei Mishnah, v'chein bimei Chachmei Talmud, ad yimei Abaye v'Rava." Until the times of Abaye v'Rava, they were still using the Yom Cheshbon. So it says the Noida Behuda, the fee what I just said, that Rava said you could be Mekel on Yontif Sheni. How could you be Mekel on Yontif Sheni? What's the difference between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni? Must be this was after the calendar. Now the Rambam says they would still be Mekadesh al Piriya ad yimei Abaye v'Rava. So says the Noida Behuda, you have to say it was ad v'loyad b'chla. In the times of Abaye v'Rava, they weren't being Mekadesh al piriyah. In the times of Abaye v'Rava, they were being Mekadesh al piriyah calendar. V'horayi, because Rava said you could be Mekel b'yontif sheni. How would Rava allow you to be Mekel b'yontif sheni? So what did Rambam mean when he said, ad yimei Abaye v'Rava, zok denoyde b'yehuden detzlach, ad v'loyad b'chla. Up until the time of Abaye v'Rava, but Abaye v'Rava's kufa, no, then they already switched over. At that point, they were using the calendar, and because they were using the calendar, so it's for that reason, at that point, said denoyde b'yehuda, you can be Mekel b'yontif sheni, aber b'zman that they were mekadesh al piriyah. So you can't be Mekel by yontif sheni. What's the difference between yontif sheni and yontif sheni? It's a I don't know when yontif is. So if I don't know when yontif is, mecha tasty any cooler in yontif sheni over yontif rishon. Stating that, the Shagas Aryeh in Turei Yevin in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yotes and the other place in Shas where the Gemara talks about Yontif Sheni and these ideas brings our Gemara. He discusses Rava and he learns Pshat not like the Noida Yehuda. The Shagas Aryeh says that it's Pasha to me that Rava lived in the Tkufa where they were still being Mekadesh the Chodesh al Piriyah. And if there would be Mekadosh Chedosh al Piriya, Freitish Agis Aryeh, how could Rav have said in Be'er Davav Amin Aleph that Yontif Sheni is more cool than Yontif Rishon? That when it comes to a mace, Yisasku by Amin be Yontif Rishon, be Yisasku by Yisro by Yontif Sheni. What difference is there between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni? We're dealing with a time when there was a suffix. If there was a suffix, no one had any idea. And the Shagas Aryeh, he says, Adav Nifla. He says, because the Gemara says, also on Davav Amin Aleph in Masechtas Be'er, that Mi Mois Ezra Ve'elach, from the times of Ezra, the Elach, never had it happened that Elul was Mo'uber. They had to add another day of Elul. Meaning Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was always 30 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Meaning Rosh Chodesh Elul was always 29 days. Elul Mo'uber would mean they added a 30th day to Chodesh Elul. They never had to add a 30th day to Chodesh Elul. Now the truth is there were a few times, but the Gemara means is that there were very, very, very few exceptions. But Mimois Ezra, Loi Matsinu Elul Mo'uber, Elul was always 29 days. It was never Me'uber. There was never a 30th day. That means Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah was always day 30. So said the Shagas Aryeh that even when the Yidden were Mekadesh al Pi Re'iyah, the Yidden living in Chutz Loritz knew this klal. Mimois Ezra loy matzinu elam ober. From the times of Ezra until Rava, you're talking close to 1,000 years. This was a very, very, very large body of time. And they knew that there was no such thing of elam ober. It almost never happened. So the Shagasari says they were able to be soymech on a rov, and they were able to assume that the first day is Yontif and the second day not. And that's why Rava said that you could be Mekel B'Yontif Sheni. How can you be Mekel B'Yontif Sheni? That being Mekadosh Al Pi Riya. The first day and the second day you have the same suffix. The Teretz were talking about Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is totally an Elul. And Mimais Ezrelim Tzino Elul Uber. And it's for that reason there's actually a Kula Yontif Sheni over Yontif Rishon. In other words, the Noid of Yehuda learned that Avada Rav was talking about once, they were not being Mekadosh Al Pir anymore. They would be Mekadosh Al Pir the Cheshbon. They were Mekadosh based on the calendar. The calendar, the first day is the Reis, the second day is the Rabbanah. He says, that's why you can be Mekadosh when it comes to a Mace on the second day Yontem. As opposed to Neshagasariyeh, who said, no, it's Mashma not that way. It's Mashma that Rav was talking even when they were Mekadosh Al Pir. What's the difference between the first day Yontem and the second day Yontem? This Noid of Yehuda's Grace Akasha, Zok Neshagasariyeh, there was a Rav, Mimois Ezrav Eilach Lemitzin El Uber, and because of this rive, there was actually a kula in the second day yontif versus the first day yontif. In other words, how would the Shagasari learn the Rambam? The Rambam says, "Avi mechachme mishna, dechemi mechachme talmud, ad yimei abayi v'rova." Not ad v'loy ad bechlal, but ad v'ad bechlal. In the times of abayi v'rova, they would still be mekadosh l'chaydosh al piriyah. The Pasha reading of the Rambam, they would still be mekadosh l'chaydosh al piriyah. Narva. So how could Rava say he could be mechli yontif sheni? The Teretz says there's a rive. So again, we have a major, major machloikis between two gedolim that lived in the same time, the Noid of Yehuda and the Shagasariyeh, and they're arguing about when Rava said that Yontif Sheni is more kuladik than Yontif Rishon, specifically regarding a mes. Did he mean Dafka once we fixed the calendar, now we know when Yontif is a mimel, the second day is only with the Rabbanon, that you can be Mekel Yontif Sheni? Or maybe even before they fixed the calendar, based on the idea that there's a Rav that Mimais Ezra ve'elach le'matzino elam ober. And really what it may come down to is how to read a Lashon HaRambam. Avu b'meichach me'mishna, the Rambam's talking about the end of this era of when the Yidden were Mekadosh Al Piriya. V'chem b'meichach me'talmud ad yimei abaye v'rova al kviyas Eretz Yisrael ha'yusayimchem. When the Rambam said ad yimei abaye v'rova, did he mean ad v'ad b'chlal or did he mean ad v'loy ad b'chlal? Shagasariyeh held in Turi Yevon, he meant ad v'ad b'chlal. Then at the times of abaye v'rova, there would still be Mekadosh Chedosh Al Piriya. And still, the Rava said in Be'ed Avavim and Aleph Yantav Shedi is more cool. It must be because of the Roy. Then the Yehuda learned Ad Yimei Abayi V'Rava was Ad V'Loyad B'chlal. It couldn't be Soymich on any Roivs of Mimois Ezra Ve'Elach. Rava meant Dafka once they were ready being Mekadesh based on the Cheshbon. The Mechas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Aleph talks a lot about Yontav Sheni. He has 4 pages on Yontav Sheni, 4 long Minchas Chinuch pages with his Kitzur and Mara Mekoymus, etc., etc. It's very, very long Arichas. He brings this machloikis between the Noid of Yehuda and between the Shagasari. You had to understand the Gemara and the Avavam and Aleph, and he says a very geshmaka thing. We learned this Gemara not so long ago. We did a long raid bite on this, but the Gemara discussed what the halach is as it relates to sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So we know the maskon of the Gemara. Maskon of the Gemara is Mehilchasa, Mesav, Yasfinon, Bruchi Loi Mevarchinon. Saying that, different Menhagim and Klal Yisrael, the Tshuva from the Menchasa Luza, the Mikrai Kodesh, etc., 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 the Karban Azano, the Inkam Mekoymoy Laharech. But the truth is that sugya was a little bit of a longer sugya. That line of the Hilchasa is just the punchline of the Gemara. Mesav Yasfina Brucha Lemi Vachina. But there's a whole lead up to that Gemara. And the Gemara over there brought it was Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. And there were two Lashonis, if you recall, Daf Mem Zayin Amad Alef and Masech Tesukah, what those two Lashonis were. The Ikka de Amri said like this, Bruche Kuli Amaloi Pligid Lemi Vachina. And everybody agreed, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, you don't make a bracha when you sin in a sukkah in Shmini Atzeres. However, Ki Pligi Le Mesav. The Shaila was that you're supposed to sin in a sukkah. One man the Amar held you sin in a sukkah. The other man the Amar held that you're not supposed to sin in a sukkah. He held you don't even sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Amr Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Nekoyt Rabbi Yochanan beyotcha." Dibmarid the Shmaita Mani. Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rabbi Shmuel Bar Shelas. Ubishmini Sofik Shmi Levar Misukah Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Shelas, he on Shmini Atzeres used to not sit in a sukkah. Now again, this is not a riot to the minig and Klai Yisrael not to sit in a sukkah. This is not the halacha. The Gemara says la halacha the hilchos of Mesav Yasvin Bruchu Leim Evrachina. That's why it's a little trickier to understand that minig. But the bottom line is that the Gemara brought Amoyroim that were of the opinion you don't have to sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. And Frank the Mechas Chinuch says he doesn't understand why. What's Pashup Shad? How could there be a Havamina not to sit in a sukkah Shmini Atzeres? At the end of the day, it's a suffix that maybe it's Hoshana Rabba. Again, we're talking about back in the day. Forget about now we have calendars. This is the times of Rabbi Yochanan. This is in the times when they didn't have calendars. So in those days, no one had any idea what was going on. So you're living in Chutz Laaretz, and you know that it might be Hoshana Rabba, it might be Shmini Atzeres. Is there a Havamini? You're not going to sit in a sukkah? Of course you're going to have to sit in a sukkah. No one's going to tell you not to sit in a sukkah in that world. About that you have to sit in a sukkah. I don't think the carbon asana is going to help you so fast. So over there, it's much trickier. But the point is that Avad Yishav to sit in a sukkah. So what was the Havamina not to sit in a sukkah? When you go through that Gemara again, when you chazer, sukkah, memvavam, membeis, memzayin, memel, there's a major tzad in the Gemara that there were people that didn't sit in a sukkah, shmini atzeres. How you talking? Zok to mechaz chinuch. This Turei Even opens up a little bit of light. It's literally, it sheds light on this whole topic. Because this is Chodesh Tishrei. Chodesh Tishrei mi mois Ezra ve'elach loy matzinu elo mo'uber. And because loy matzinu elo mo'uber, so they knew that really, Hoshana Rabba was Hoshana Rabba. Nor was, there was a sveik of the yoyma, but it was only being chayish lemiyuta. But this chayish lemiyuta was much more kulladik. That's why Yontif Sheni was more kulladik even in those days, like the Shagasari said. Because they knew based on Rav when the Ikadei Yontif was. So if they knew based on Rav when the Ikadei Yontif was, so it's for that reason there were people that didn't even sit in a sukkah and shmini at Teres back then. I, what happened to Sveika the Yoima? There's a Rav that's Machriya the Safik. This Turei Even. Either way, we have a tremendous yesoid from the Shagasari. Mechaz Chinuch brings it and is Meirichin in a mitzvah Shin Aleph, and that is that even though there's a Sveika the Yoima and the Yidden Bavel and Golos, they didn't really know when Rosh Chodesh was, and based on they didn't know when Yontif was, but as it related to Chodesh Tishrei, they had a Rav in that pocket. The Rav was me by Ezra ve'elach le'matzinu elam u'ber. And they were allowed to be soymich on that Rav, and that's p'shan in Rav ve'ed avavam and aleph, and that's p'shan in damirom and sukkah daf mem zayinam and aleph. Zok the Ritva, mesech des Rosh Hashanah daf yud ches. To me, Ali, I don't understand. You don't find ever in history that Yidin fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. It's the chashaylof in a day raisa. You eat on Yom Kippur, you chayiv karis. You do melach on Yom Kippur, you chayiv karis. How is it possible that Yidin were never chayish for sveik adiyam? He said, today we know. But forget about today. What about back then? Nobody knew then. So if nobody knew then, how you talking back then? They weren't machmer. Said the Ritva, what the Shagasari says. Doesn't quote the Shagasari, but he says what the Shagasari says, and that is that the Gemara says, Mimois Ezra ve'elach loy matzino ela mo'ober. They had a Rav, and because they had a Rav, there was never really a suffix that they had to worry about when Yontif was. The whole Yontif Sheni was being chayish lemiyuta. And because all it was being chayish lemiyuta, so they were chayish lemiyuta for Rosh Hashanah, they were chayish lemiyuta for Sukkot, they were chayish lemiyuta when it came to Shmini Atzeres and Hoshana Rabba, etc., etc. But Yom Kippur, because of what's at stake in Geizun Gzeira Latzibu, Shein Rev Atzibu, Yechaylum Lamidba, Yom Kippur, you're going to fast 48 hours, it could be dangerous. And it's for those reasons that being that all they were dealing with was a Derabbanon, all it was a chayish lemiyuta, so says the Ritva, it's for that reason they didn't have to be chayish. But this is the aside. The aside is that even though it's true when the Yidden were living in Galus, so there was a Yontif Sheni, and they had to contend with this Yontif Sheni. But at the same time, as it related to Chodesh Tishrei, there was a Umdana, there was a Raif of Mimois Ezra ve'elach le'matzino elam u'ber. And the whole Yontif Sheni of Chodesh Tishrei was something that all they had to deal with was it was a chayish lemiyuta. It was a derabbanon, like the Shagasari says. That's why Yontif Sheni was more kuladik even then, and it's for that reason the Yidden never fasted a second day Yom Kippur. Clearly, something that's in Yonah D'Yayma. But just to end with one more ha'ara, and that is Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tokachinsky wrote a sefer called Ira Kodesh VaMikdash. It's just a little bit of background. So Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tokachinsky was born in the 1870s in Belarus. But as a very, very young boy, he went to Eretz Yisrael. And when he went to Eretz Yisrael, at a very young age, he married the granddaughter of Rav Shmuel Salant. So Rav Shmuel Misalant, he was the Rabbi Shal Yerushalayim for 70 years. And he married the granddaughter of Rav Shmuel Misalant. And he immediately had a seat at the table. And he saw all the nechnasim and the yoitzim and all the big shailas that took place in the late 19th century, early 20th century that were going on in Eretz Yisrael. He was a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous goyin. He's famous for zmanim. He's famous for writing the authoritative work on Hilchas Avelos, Gesher Achayim. He was Goyen Oilam. He was a Chavrusa and a very, very close friend with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He wrote many, many Svarim. And one of the Sfarim, very befitting to talk about Rav Tukachinsky on a Tainus, but one of the Sfarim that he wrote is called Ira Kodesh VaMikdash. Hard to find, but kedai if you could. And Ira Kodesh VaMikdash, it's five halakim, and he goes through all the different halachas related to Eretz Yisrael. And he did a very, very, very long analysis on Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. So it's in Chelek Gimel, it's Perek Yud Ches and Perek Yud Tes. It's over 50 pages long. And he goes through the Arichos, Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. And one of the things that he focuses on is this idea. He says, quote, Umikana Nidon Chadosha. He says, I want to say a Dover Chadosh, and that is this raid that we just said. That when the Yidden didn't know, they had no idea what was going on in Yerushalayim, and they were keeping 2 days Yontif simply because of Sveik of the Yoyma. But the 2 days Yontif they were keeping Sveik of the Yoyma, the first day they knew was really Yontif and Chodesh Tishrei. The second day, what do you mean? Based on he brings the Ritva and the Shai Gesariye and the Noi de Yehuda, and a lot of the raid that we spoke about just now is there in Ira Chodesh VaMikdash in Perik Yotches. But then he says, Yoitza Mikan Chadosh Oid. He says, I want to say another Chiddush. Listen to this Gemara. Rosh Hashanah Daf Yotes Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Shochu Leila Marukfa. They told Marukfa. Ador Hasamuch Lin. By the way, who was Marukfa? Marukfa was the Reish Galusa in the times of Rav and Shmuel. So this is a letter that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Marukfa. He's the Manik. He's the Rav HaRoshi. He's the Reish Galusa in Bavo. So you should know that Ador Hasamuch Lin Nisan. So if there's one Adar, it's the only Adar in, right? That's Adar. If there's two Adars, it's Adar base. It's the Adar HaSamach L'Nisan, La'olam Chasa. Adar HaSamach L'Nisan, La'olam Chasa. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Yotes Amid Beis. Now the Gemara asks a Kasha, and the Gemara comes out Tiyufta. But Rav Tukachinsky said that if you look at the Gemara carefully, and you go through it well, it's mavur that the Tiyufta of the Gemara was not on the premise of what they told Marukva. What they told us to Marukva, and then they didn't know what they were talking about. But the Tiyufta was because it sounded like Adar HaSamach L'Nisan La'olam Chaser, and it wasn't La'olam Chaser because there were times that it wasn't Chaser. But says Rav Tukachinsky, go through the Gemara over there, you're going to see that almost always Adar HaSamach L'Nisan was Chaser. Now, if Adar HaSamach L'Nisan was Chaser, what does that mean? That means that just like the Ritva said in Rosh Hashanah Yotches, and the Shai Gesariye said in Rosh Hashanah Yotches, and the Mechas Chinuch said in Mitzvah Shin Aleph, that there was a Rav that the Yidden were able to use in Chodesh Tishrei, they knew the first day. The 30th day from Chodesh, from Rosh Chodesh Elul was Rosh Chodesh, and they were able to figure out Midday Raisa based on a Roiv when Yontif was. And they had the same exact thing in Chodesh Nisan. So that means they knew when Pesach was. And if they knew when Pesach was, count 50 days, they knew when Shavuos was. So he says it comes out there was never a real Yontif Sheni. There was never a real Yontif Sheni. He says the whole Yontif Sheni was a Chumra Ba'alma, not to be Soymich on the Rav. Because sometimes the Taka didn't play out. But you want to know Midine Torah, they had a right to be Soymich on the Rav. Now, it didn't always work out. Is it Efshel Avurei? We could start clearing Lumdis and figuring all this out. But the bottom line is the Yisoid. Says Rav Tukachinsky, that just to clarify a little bit, based on Gemaras, this is not abstract history, right? We're not digging up some old history book in Latin. It's Pasha learning the Gemaras and the Rishonim and the Achrayim. What emerges is very, very clearly from the Sugi. You just have to know how to find it. But it's clear. It's right here. Rav Tukachinsky helped. But you see it all right here. And that is that whether it was Chodesh Tishrei and it was Chodesh Nisan, all of the Yomim Taivim, they knew when the first day Yontif was. And really, the second day Yontif that they kept, they were only always keeping with the Rabban. There's a lot more here in Ira Kodesh VaMikdash V'Ezus Hashem. Hopefully we'll be able to get to some more of it in the next few days. But just to end, I heard from a very, very chashuv yid, Reb Michal Steif, told me that he heard from his Hele Gezeda, Reb Yoinesen Steif, who once said in a drasha, it was a drasha on Zayin Adar, and he was speaking and he said that Chazal say, Mimois Ezra Ve'elach Loi Matzinu Elul Mo'ober. So he said, why is it that Mimais Ezra Ve'elach Loi Matzinu Elul Mo'ober? Why were they never Ma'aber Chodesh Elul? He said, because there's a Manda Amar and Shas that says that Benisan Nigalu U'Betishrei Yasidim Ligoyal. He said, they Yidden knew that Betishrei Yasidim Ligoyal. And when Chodesh Tishrei was coming, they never wanted to push her off even one day. We're not going to add another day to Elul. We want Chodesh Tishrei to come. It's like this, we could already usher in the Geula. And he teached that the Geula is going to come Be'ita Achishena. Achishena means it's going to come quickly. Shuas Hashem Meherafayim. The Geula could always come. Oh, but there's also a Sman of Be'ita. And in the Sman of Be'ita, there's a Man that holds when's the Be'ita? It's Betishrei Nivra Oila. And it's Betishrei Asidim Ligolos, the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, in the first parak of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. So he said it's for that reason that the Yidden, they never added a day to Chodesh Elul because they wanted to bring the Geula, Zolkim and Noch Shneller. We're going to wait another day for the Geula. It was an Achishenu and the Be'ita. The Be'ita Zolkim and Achishenu. We don't want to push it off even one day. The Fiwar of Tukachinsky is saying is Chodesh Nisan was the same exact thing. Adar Asamuch L'Nisan was La'olam Chaser. Why? Because there's another man, Omar, that holds not the Tishrei Asidim Ligal, or the Nisan Asidim Ligal. Either way, starting Chodesh Tishrei, we should be Zoicha, to be Tishrei Asidim Ligal. Everyone should be Zoicha, to Gezunt, and Parnasa, and Nachis, and Refuas, and Yeshuas, and we should talk to be Zoicha, to the Bias Goyal Tzedek, then Herabi Amenu Amen.